We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, powered by BetterHelp.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Hospital workers, what is the strangest or most unexplainable thing you have seen a person experience when they are close to death? Story 1. I work in emergency care, and one day I was sent to check on an elderly woman living in a care home. The staff thought she might be having some kind of medical episode. When I walked into her room, I found a kind, cheerful lady sitting upright in her chair. She looked perfectly fine. While I was checking her, she was laughing and making jokes. All her vital signs were normal. She asked for a cup of tea and sent her daughter out to get it. Then she turned to me and said, "Just so you know, I have a DNR." I told her I had already seen it and everything was okay. She gently tapped my hand and said, "Whatever happens, please don't try to bring me back." Then, without any warning, she peacefully passed away right there. It was as if she had full control and simply chose to let go. I've never seen someone leave so calmly. Story 2. My mom passed away from a serious lung condition. Toward the end, she was in the ICU on a breathing machine, slipping in and out of consciousness, and given strong medicine to ease her pain. At one point, they had to gently secure her to the bed because she kept trying to remove her tubes and IVs. One day, I was in the room with my sister and my aunt, my mom's sister. We were quietly talking about my dad. Even though my mom was barely responsive, she stirred a bit, opened her eyes slightly, and with the little energy she had left, raised her middle finger. We all burst out laughing. It was well known they didn't get along, and that small gesture was so perfectly her, even in that moment. It's been over 10 years, and I still smile when I remember it. She passed peacefully later, when we made the difficult decision to stop the machines. Story 3. When I was in college, I worked as a CNA at a nursing home. One of the strangest experiences I had was with an elderly woman who was in great shape, no major health problems at all. One day, she asked me what time her daughter was coming to visit. I told her it was scheduled for 4:30. She looked at me and said, "Can you call her? I'm going home at 3:53. The time was so specific that it caught me off guard. Still, I made the call and her daughter came early to visit. While they were together in the room, the woman had a sudden medical event. Her official time of passing was recorded at 3:55. As anyone in healthcare knows, it usually takes a couple of minutes for the doctor to confirm. To this day, I still think about how she somehow seemed to know exactly when her time would come. Story 4. I'm not in the medical field, but something unforgettable happened in my family. My grandpa flew out to visit his sister after she had a serious accident at her care home. The doctors didn't think she would recover. so my aunt and uncle took him to say goodbye. While he was with her, they heard him say, "I'll see you again soon." When they got back home, we were all waiting to hear that his sister had passed. But the first call we got was something none of us expected. My grandpa had returned from the airport, thanked my aunt and uncle, and gone to his room to rest. He passed away peacefully in his sleep. He was found by his daughter, who had biked over to talk with him about his trip. I'll never forget my dad answering the phone and being told his father was gone. Just moments after he hung up, the phone rang again. It was his cousin calling to say my grandpa's sister had also passed. From what we could figure out, they passed within just a few hours of each other. It felt like he truly meant it when he said, "I'll see you again soon." Story 5. I'm not a doctor or a nurse. One of my uncles had late-stage pancreatic cancer. He was a tough man and didn't trust hospitals, so he waited far too long to see a doctor, even though he was in a lot of pain. When he finally went, the news was bad. They told him he might only have about 6 weeks left. It was going to be a very painful end, so he chose a peaceful option that's legal in Canada: medical assistance in dying. On the day it was scheduled, we were all gathered around his bed. Everything had been approved, and the medicine was ready to go through his IV. He was already heavily sedated, but the rule is that he had to press the button himself. With help from his wife, he did. He closed his eyes, and his breathing slowed down. After a few minutes, we thought he was gone. We were all quietly standing there, some people saying goodbye, many of us crying. Around 10 minutes passed, and people had started to leave the room, when suddenly, in a strong, clear voice, he said, "Russell, wait for me." He slowly raised his hand, took one last breath, and then he was truly gone. Nobody knew who Russell was. It became one of those little mysteries we talk about at family gatherings, trying to guess. Years later, when his wife passed, his children were going through her belongings. They found an old photo of him as a little boy, maybe 5 years old, sitting in a sandbox with a small dog. On the back, in faded handwriting, it said, "Russell, 1944. The thought that the pets we love might meet us at the end brings me comfort. I hope it's more than just a way our minds try to make sense of things. I hope my Casey and Finnegan will be there waiting for me too. Story 6. I was caring for a man who had post-polio syndrome. He was unable to get out of bed, on oxygen, but fully alert and aware. One day, I came to visit, and he was so excited to tell me something. He said he saw his wife. He told me she was standing in the doorway, motioning for him to come with her. He laughed and said it sounded strange, but he was sure she had been there. I gently told his daughter, explaining that sometimes when people start seeing loved ones who have already passed, it can mean their own time is near. She just smiled and said their anniversary was the next day, so maybe she was just on his mind. I went to check on him early the next morning. He had passed during the night. It felt like his wife really did come to bring him home for their anniversary. Story 7. I was with a woman who was near the end of her life. Her son couldn't be there, so he asked me to stay with her until the very end. Her breathing had become loud due to her condition, and it slowly started to fade. The pauses between each breath got longer. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, until it seemed like she had taken her last. I leaned in with my stethoscope to check for a heartbeat. I couldn't hear anything. Her body looked completely still. Just as I was about to record the time, she suddenly sat straight up and shouted, "No!" with a gasp, then fell back into bed and started breathing again in a pattern I recognized as her final stage. About 20 minutes later, she passed away peacefully. It truly startled me. I had never seen anything like it. Story 8. I had another patient who lived alone. She was stable, but knew her time was limited. As I was leaving her house, I said, "See you tomorrow." She called out with a chuckle, "No, you won't." I thought it was just her dark sense of humor, something many people have when facing illness. The next morning, I got a message that she had passed peacefully in her sleep. Maybe it was a joke, or maybe she somehow knew. Story 9. I was about 6 or 7 years old when my grandma passed away. She had just come back from a cruise to Aruba, got sick, and had to stay in the hospital. My dad used to take me to visit her most nights, but one night I got really sick. I had a high fever and couldn't stop throwing up. Since my parents were divorced, my dad called my mom and asked her to come stay with me while he went to the hospital. I was feeling so bad that even the smell of my mom's shampoo made me feel worse. She helped me into bed early and then went downstairs. Later that night, I woke up and saw my grandma standing at the foot of my bed. She told me everything was okay and that I shouldn't be sad. I didn't really think much of it at the time. I just went back to sleep. The next morning, I felt a little better. That's when my dad told me that my grandma had passed away during the night. Story 10. During a night shift, we were caring for a man in very poor health. He had advanced lung cancer and was receiving comfort-focused care, not emergency treatments. Early in the night, we heard him softly calling out, "Help me, help me." We checked on him right away and gave him some medicine to help ease his discomfort. He settled down and looked more peaceful when we checked again about an hour later, still breathing, resting quietly. On the second check, though, things had changed. I walked in and found the bed raised to its highest setting, and the patient had passed. His skin had turned pale, and he was no longer breathing. What surprised us was the bed. No one had adjusted it, and my coworker confirmed he hadn't touched the controls. We guessed that maybe, in a confused state, the patient had tried pressing buttons, thinking it was the call bell. Later, after the doctor confirmed the passing and contacted the family, we moved him to the treatment room to prepare him for the morgue. We lowered the bed to make it safer for us to clean and wrap him properly. The moment we stepped back, after finishing, we heard a mechanical sound. The bed was lifting itself up again. We both looked at each other, totally stunned. Our hands were nowhere near the controller. It was probably just an electrical issue. But the timing? It really felt like something out of a mystery show. Definitely a moment I'll never forget. Story 11. I'm not in the medical field, but my mom was in a hospital, receiving comfort.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Care during her final stage of cancer. She had a lot of worry about what would happen at the end and didn't talk about it much. One day in late April, I was sitting beside her bed when she suddenly told me she felt like her time might be close. I didn't know what to say. Then she asked what day it was, and I told her it was April 28th. She quietly said that it was her oldest daughter's birthday, my older sister, though they hadn't spoken in years. Then she added, "It wouldn't be very kind to pass away on her birthday." She didn't say anything more about it or about dying on any special day. Exactly 1 month later, on May 28th, she passed peacefully. And now that I'm writing this, I've realized something strange. Today is April 28th again, my sister's birthday. Story 12. I worked as a hospice nurse for a few years, and I've seen some things that I still can't fully explain. One thing that happened several times, maybe 4 or 5 times in 2 years, was patients telling me they heard bells shortly before they passed. One man, who seemed like he still had some time left, told me he heard wedding bells. He said they sounded beautiful and that he felt excited. That night, he passed away. Another common thing I saw was patients becoming unexpectedly clear-headed in their final hours. They didn't suddenly get stronger or more energetic. They just became very aware and would thank me for being kind. It was quiet, calm gratitude right before they left. Now, I don't really believe in anything supernatural, but two moments really stuck with me. One woman passed while I was in the room. We hadn't been close. She had a strong personality and wasn't always friendly. But I still did my job. I removed her medical equipment, gently closed her eyes, and made her look peaceful. I usually say something small afterward, like, I hope you were comfortable. I hope it was a gentle goodbye. Right after that, the light above her bed turned off. About 5 seconds later, the middle light in the room turned off. Then, strangely, the first light came back on. After that, both those lights were on, but the one above the door turned off. I stood there pale, frozen. I have no idea what caused it, and honestly, I don't want to think too hard about it. Another time, I was with a kind older woman who had been calm the whole night. I had my back turned for a moment when she suddenly sat up. I was with a CNA, and we both saw it. She started talking in a voice that didn't sound like her at all, much deeper and very intense. She said something strange like, "You think you can just do whatever you want," and then laughed in a way that gave us chills. We both froze. Then she went right back to her normal self. When I asked her about it, she just chuckled lightly. She stayed calm and sweet for the rest of the night and passed away near sunrise. I'm sure there's a logical explanation for both of those things, but they still give me chills to this day. Story 13. When I was still in nursing school, I worked in the emergency department. In our last 2 years, we can get paid positions to gain experience. One shift, a patient passed away in one of the beds. It was expected, so nothing felt out of the ordinary at the time. Later that shift, a new patient was brought into the same bed. They were very ill and likely only had a few days left. As they settled in, we noticed they were staring at the ceiling, talking softly to someone, and using the exact same name as the person who had passed in that spot earlier. It was strange. Both patients were elderly, but they came from completely different cultural backgrounds. It didn't seem likely that they knew each other, or that the new patient would randomly speak to someone with that specific name. It could have been a coincidence, but it definitely left all of us wondering. Story 14. I'm a death doula, someone who supports people and their families during the final stage of life. I once worked with a kind elderly woman who lived in a care setting for people with disabilities. I was helping her get an important document, something like a DNR, that would make sure she could pass peacefully without emergency efforts being used. She was very small, only around 80 pounds, and the staff were nervous about what to do if things got worse. No one wanted to cause her more pain or stress. She used to tell me often that she dreamed of going on a long walk in the countryside. Once we finally got everything sorted and the paperwork was in place, her staff gently let her know it was all taken care of and that she could rest whenever she felt ready. She sat up, smiled, and said, "I'm going to take that long walk in the country now." She passed away peacefully the next day. Story 15. I'm not in the medical field, but I took care of both my grandparents during their final days, along with helping my mom, who is disabled. Before my grandmother passed, she kept saying she saw someone standing in the hallway, calling her name. She always thought it was me, so she'd call out, and I'd come in to check. But every time, I had to show her that no one was there, and I hadn't left the other room. As for my grandfather, he kept seeing cats, though he never liked cats. At first, it seemed random, but I started to notice a pattern. Every time he saw them, something serious would happen, and he'd need to go to the hospital. I began using it as a sign to check his oxygen levels. Sure enough, they'd usually dropped into the low 80s. He had COPD from working in uranium mines, so it made sense that low oxygen could cause him to see things. During his final week, something changed. He was unusually cheerful and full of energy. He got out of bed to play Counter-Strike and even brought out his remote control tanks to play with. When I saw that, I got a sinking feeling. It's something caregivers call the last wind, when someone suddenly seems better right before the end. You just know something's not right. They're happy in a way that doesn't feel normal anymore. Story 16. I'm not a hospice or hospital worker, but I do have something to share. My mom had a major stroke right in front of me. At first, she could still speak, and she turned to me and said, "The Sea Sisters." I was confused and just replied, "Yeah, the Sea Sisters, I'm sure they're fine." Thankfully, I got the chance to tell her I loved her, and she told me she loved me too. She passed away 5 days later. Later, when I told my aunt about what my mom had said during the stroke, her face changed. She told me the Sea Sisters were cousins of their mother, my grandmother. These women had cared for my grandmother during her final days. They were the ones who helped with everything when she passed. I don't know if my mom saw them during her stroke. I don't know exactly what happened in that moment, but I like to think she felt calm, and maybe in some way, she was being looked after too. Story 17. When my dad's grandfather was near the end. My dad and his mom were sitting by his bedside. Gramps was known for being stubborn about just about everything. He had been slowly declining for a few days, and finally, my dad held his hand and gently said, "It's okay to let go. We'll be all right." Both he and my grandmother say that Gramps opened his eyes one last time, took a deep breath, and passed peacefully. My dad still jokes that it was the only time Gramps ever listened to anyone. Strangely, my grandmother, Gramps' daughter, had a very similar experience at the end of her life. She entered hospice on Christmas Eve, and the nurse told us she might only have about 48 hours. But she held on for nearly 2 more weeks. It was really hard for all of us, especially because she was no longer responsive. One of the hospice workers gently asked if it was possible she was waiting for someone. She had helped raise one of my cousins, who is now somewhat distant from the family. Even if the cousin had shown up, my grandfather probably wouldn't have let them in. So my mom sat by my grandmother's side and softly told her that the cousin wasn't going to come, and that maybe she could let that relationship find peace in another way after she was gone. That same afternoon, my grandmother passed. It felt like she just needed to know she wasn't going to miss that one last goodbye. Story 18. This didn't happen to me, but to my mom. She used to work at a nursing home for elderly people. One day, during her rounds, she walked into a resident's room and found the woman shouting, "Get out of here!" But she wasn't yelling at my mom. She was staring at the corner of the room. My mom asked her who she was talking to, and the woman replied, "The man over there," while pointing to an empty corner. No one else was in the room. Then my mom asked, "Is he wearing a blue suit?" The woman looked surprised and said yes. Mom told her to hold on a moment and went to make some phone calls. She reached out to the woman's daughter, who lived in another part of the state. After a bit of back and forth, the daughter agreed to come visit. By the time she arrived, my mom had finished her rounds. The daughter stayed and visited her mom until visiting hours ended, then got a hotel room nearby for the night. The elderly woman passed away that same night. What makes this story even stranger is that something similar happened years earlier, when my mom's own sister passed away. Since then, my mom swears that the figure who comes to guide people at the end wears a blue suit. Story 19. I'm not a hospice nurse, but I was very close to someone who was. She eventually left hospice care after a deeply upsetting experience with one of her patients. The patient was a woman with advanced cancer. She had a husband and children, and they were all part of a very strict religious group. This group believed strongly in healing through prayer. One day, several members came to the patient's home, claiming they could help her get better. They lifted her up and moved her around in ways that her body couldn't handle. Her bones were already very weak from the illness. The hospice team was horrified by what happened. Not long after, the patient passed away. My friend was called in, and when she arrived, she found the woman's body had been left alone in a corner. The husband seemed more annoyed than sad. She gently asked if he was okay, and he replied, "She was weak. If she had really believed, she wouldn't have died." He even said this in front of their young children, implying she had somehow failed spiritually. My friend is also a person of faith. She and a few of the other hospice nurses spoke directly with the leader of that religious group. They strongly confronted him for teaching people such harmful ideas, but the whole experience left a deep mark on her, and she eventually left hospice work altogether. It wasn't a ghost story, but years later, you could still see how shaken she was whenever she talked about it. Sometimes the scariest things come from people. Story 20. This might not be a perfect fit for the topic, but it's something that really matters to me. When I was a baby, my grandma adopted me. She was truly a beautiful person, kind, loving, funny, patient, and just full of warmth. I loved her so much. When I was 13, she had a stroke, and I was placed in foster care. I couldn't visit her, but I would call. During our calls, she would tell me all kinds of stories, things like going fishing that day or getting ready to go to the circus. At the time, I didn't understand, but later I found out she had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and that helped explain the stories. Eventually, I convinced someone to take me to visit her. She didn't seem to recognize me at first, but we sat outside on the porch of the care home. Then, all of a sudden, she looked straight at me, clear-eyed, and said, "I love you, sweetheart." She knew who I was in that moment. She passed away not long after that, and I've missed her ever since. I'm 36 now. A few years ago, when I was pregnant with my fifth child, I started having dreams about my grandma for the first time ever. Not every night, but more than I expected, especially since I had never dreamed about her before. I also found myself thinking about her a lot, and whenever my baby moved inside me, I felt this deep, warm kind of love that reminded me of how I felt around my grandma as a child. It was different, more motherly, but strangely familiar too. When my daughter was born, I was shocked to see she had red hair and a small birthmark on her forehead. All my other children have dark brown hair. My grandma had been a redhead, and she had an old injury in the exact same spot where my baby now has her birthmark. I can't explain any of it, but I know it means something. And when my daughter grows up, I'll make sure she knows about her amazing great-grandma. Story 21. When my grandfather came home for end-of-life care, his illness had spread from prostate cancer into his bones. I was the grandchild who lived closest and was also the closest to him emotionally. I spent his final weeks helping my grandmother care for him. I still remember the last night of his life. He was very restless and kept throwing off his blankets. Something I now know can be a sign that the end is near. At one point, he looked at me, reached out with his thin hand, and said softly, "Help me." My grandpa had served in the Navy for 34 years and had retired as a high-ranking officer. He was proud and independent. By that point, though, his body was so weak, he was barely recognizable. Months earlier, he had told me he hoped he would pass before reaching the point where he needed constant help, like being bathed, changed, and fed. And now, there I was, doing all those things. When he asked me for help that night, I froze. I looked at him and, with tears in my eyes, said, "I'm sorry, I don't know how." It's been over 10 years, and my heart still hurts when I think of that moment. I felt so helpless. I'm not a religious person, and I don't even know what I believe spiritually. But that night, as I drove to my apartment to grab a few things before heading back to his house, I broke down. I cried hard and begged whatever force might be listening. I remember saying out loud, "Please, let it be over. This is too much. Please, just let him rest." My apartment was only about 20 minutes away. As I pulled into the parking lot, my phone rang. It was my grandmother. She told me that my grandfather had just passed. Story 22. There was a woman I was caring for who was set to go home that morning with end-of-life care support. She had been doing fine all shift, no problems at all. My tech and I had to go assist another patient who needed both of us. We were in that other room for maybe 20 minutes. When we came back, the woman had passed away. Just before that, I had helped her to the bathroom and had a full conversation with her while getting her comfortable in bed. It happened so fast, it didn't feel real. Another time, I had a male patient who was supposed to be discharged, but his home health setup got delayed. He was visibly upset that he had to stay another night in the hospital. About 2 hours later, he suddenly began bleeding internally. Things got serious very quickly. There was some disagreement about moving him to the ICU, but the rapid response nurse had to step in and firmly say he couldn't stay on our floor. When I came back for my next shift the following evening, I was told he had passed early that morning. What stays with me is that, just before they moved him to the ICU, he told me quietly that he was scared. Story 23. I once cared for a 95-year-old woman in her home. In the days before she passed, she would often look behind me, smile, and sometimes speak as if her husband was in the room. Even though he had passed away a year earlier, there were times it honestly gave me chills, like maybe someone really was there with us. Two nights before she passed, I had my earbuds in. There wasn't any music playing at the moment, and I suddenly heard very faint voices, like a group of people quietly talking in the next room. But the house was completely empty, just her and me. It scared me, so I quickly turned on a song and raised the volume. Still, I acted like everything was normal, and never let on that I heard anything. The next day, she had a confused episode. She called the police and said people were hurting her and giving her something related to COVID. But she had dementia, and this sometimes caused her to say things that weren't true. She was taken to the hospital and passed away shortly after. I still think about it a lot. This happened back in 2022, and it stays with me to this day. Story 24. My brother was in the hospital being treated for swelling in his leg when he suddenly had a serious heart event and needed emergency help to bring him back. The doctors told us the damage to his heart was so severe that there was nothing more they could do. He could pass away at any moment. Now, my brother was never a religious person. He didn't believe in ghosts or anything like that, but right before he closed his eyes for the last time, he looked past me and said, "Hiya, love." Then he added, "Nikki is here. She's waiting. I'm going to go with her now. Look after the kids." I told him I would. He closed his eyes, and about an hour later, he passed. Nikki was his wife, who had passed away from cancer the year before. He had cared for her around the clock for 3 years. I don't believe in spirits or the afterlife, but that moment really made me think. Was it just a dreamlike vision or something more? Story 25. My aunt was receiving end-of-life care at home. The family had been told that it was time to visit and say goodbye if we wanted to. I went to spend some time with my cousins and uncle, and I also had a quiet moment with my aunt. I told her how much I loved her and how thankful I was for everything she had done for me. My aunt and uncle had a very close relationship. Even in their 70s, they were always holding hands. They were that couple. You could tell they truly loved each other. But my aunt wasn't letting go. She kept hanging on, even though her body was tired. Finally, the hospice nurse gently told my uncle that sometimes people just need to hear it's okay to rest, especially from someone they love. That night, my uncle laid down next to her and talked about their life together. He told her he would be okay, that she could rest now, and that he loved her and always would. A few hours later, she passed peacefully. No more struggle, no more tension. It still brings tears to my eyes when I think about it. Story 26. My wife was only 34, and she was holding on longer than anyone expected. Her breaths were far apart, and every time I waited for the next one, it felt like forever. Each deep breath made me jump, and I held her hand tightly. It was incredibly hard to watch, but I wasn't going to leave her side. Still, hours had passed, and my eyes started to close for just a second at a time. Her mom and I had been taking turns resting, and it was finally my turn. I told myself I'd just take a quick 5-minute nap. I dozed off while waiting for the next breath. Not even a minute later, her mom gently woke me up and said she had passed. My wife always protected me in every way she could. I truly believe that whatever part of her was still aware chose that moment when I wasn't watching, so I wouldn't have to carry the memory of seeing that final breath. She didn't want me to be scared or in shock. She left quietly, still holding my hand in the one moment I closed my eyes. Story 27. My mom had a surprisingly good evening on the day she passed. She had pancreatic cancer that was found in September, but by then it had already spread to her liver, lungs, a rib, a bone in her back, and her collarbone. She didn't feel pain from the cancer, but she was very weak and sick from the chemotherapy. About 3 weeks before she passed, we found out the treatment wasn't helping. Even though she stopped chemo, she continued to get weaker. In December, she suddenly had a day where she felt almost like her old self. There was a Christmas party for the women at church, held at one of their homes. Dad helped her into a chair in the dining room, then left to run a couple quick errands. Everyone there got a chance to speak with her. Her best friend brought her home when Mom said she was ready. While helping her up the steps to the house, Mom told her friend she needed to sit and then collapsed gently into her friend's lap. Dad got home about 5 minutes later. As soon as he saw her, he rushed to her side. She looked him in the eyes and said, "Everything will be okay," Dad's name. He ran inside to call for help, but when he came back out, Mom had already passed. Her friend was still holding her, hugging her. Her very last words were meant to comfort him. Story 28. I'm an oncology nurse and used to work in hospice care too. This was one of the moments I'll never forget. I had a patient who was on comfort care during his hospital stay. As my shift was ending, I went in to give him some medication to help with his pain. He had been mostly sleepy and quiet all day. But when I walked up to him with the medication, he looked straight at me and said, "Oh, I don't need that anymore." Then he turned his eyes to the corner of the room, looking upward toward the ceiling. I followed his gaze and gently asked what he was seeing. He gave a soft smile, leaned his head back, and took his final breath. I stayed completely still, holding my breath as I listened with my stethoscope to hear the last few beats of his heart. Then I calmly called the doctor, properly disposed of the medication with another nurse, gave report, and clocked out for the night. I'm still not sure how I managed to fall asleep after that. Story 29. My aunt, who was 100 years old at the time, became very sick and had to be taken to the hospital. She wasn't very stable and kept going in and out of sleep. She was connected to a machine that watched her heart rate and oxygen levels. Everything looked steady, no signs of trouble. The doctor stepped out of the room so her daughter could speak with her in private. They had a full, clear conversation. Afterward, my aunt said she felt tired, so she leaned back to rest while her daughter sat nearby. A little later, my aunt suddenly opened her eyes and looked to her left, toward a small table next to the bed. She smiled and said, "You finally come to get me," then lifted her arms like she was reaching for a hug. Right after that, the monitor made a long, steady sound. She had passed peacefully. Her husband had passed away many years earlier, and we like to believe it was him coming to be with her again. She was a beautiful soul. Rest peacefully. Story 30. My grandparents were married for almost 60 years when my grandmother passed away at home from lung cancer. Her body was in the living room, and my grandpa, we called him Pop, was sitting in a chair near her. She had been gone for about an hour. He was finishing up some paperwork with the hospice nurse and waiting for the funeral home to arrive. Then, all of a sudden, his cell phone rang in his pocket. He paused, took it out, and showed it to the room. The name Honey Bunch was on the screen. That was the name saved in his phone for my grandma. She was calling him, while her body was still lying nearby. She hadn't used her phone in months. It had been left in another part of the house and hadn't been charged, so the battery should have been dead. The official explanation was that maybe the phone company made a test call, and since her number was saved under that name, it showed up on his screen. My pop passed away the following year during the pandemic. That summer, we had a family gathering outdoors. My aunt was telling one of our cousins the story of that strange phone call, when her own phone suddenly rang around 10 p.m. She looked down and saw Dad calling. No one could explain it. Story 31. My brother took my dad to the hospital after we noticed he was having trouble walking steadily. While he was still in the emergency room, a brain scan showed he was having a serious type of stroke. He started losing consciousness quickly. One of the last things he said before slipping into a coma was, "Why is Rico playing dominoes with your aunt?" Rico had passed away over 5 years ago. He was once in a relationship with my sister and lived with us for a while. He loved playing dominoes. What made this moment feel so powerful was that my aunt, who my dad mentioned, is still alive. It was such a specific and unexpected detail that it made me believe we really might see each other again someday. My dad never woke up after that. He wasn't on any medicine to keep him asleep. He just didn't regain consciousness. He had other health problems that were getting worse too, so we decided to focus on keeping him comfortable. With pain relief and care, he passed away peacefully a few days later. If you're reading this, please check in on your loved ones. My dad didn't like talking about his health because he didn't want to worry us. I wish he had told us sooner. Maybe we could have helped before it was too late. Story 32. I'm a nurse, and there's a room on our floor that many of us believe is truly strange. Last year, three patients in a row had experiences in that room that I still can't explain. The first patient said she saw a body fall outside the window, which wasn't possible. The second patient said someone on the TV spoke a name to him, a name of someone who had passed away, and he wrote it down on a napkin. We thought maybe they were just confused, overtired, or having side effects from medicine. Story 33. This might get lost in all the replies, but it means a lot to me. My grandma never wanted to leave her home, so when her memory started getting really bad, We set everything up so she could get care at home. The day before she passed, my aunt, uncle, and I were sitting next to her and felt like it was time. We started calling the rest of the family. My brother and one of my uncles lived far away and were supposed to arrive the next night. That evening, my uncle decided he wouldn't be able to make it in time, but my brother was still trying his best to get there. He was my grandma's favorite, her special one, her cariño. She held on, she waited, and once my brother arrived and everyone was gathered around her bed, she passed peacefully. To this day, I truly believe she waited for him to say goodbye. Story 34. I've been with many people near the end of their life, and sometimes I've had to gently tell them it's okay to rest. There have been times when someone seemed to be waiting just for me to arrive, and they passed shortly after I got there. What was supposed to be a simple check turned into something much more final. I've seen so many rallies, moments when someone suddenly becomes more awake or alert right before the end. I've also had people introduce me to visitors they saw during their final days, people I couldn't see, but I still greeted them kindly. I've held hands, offered comfort, and looked into someone's eyes as they quietly took their last breath. Out of all the experiences I've had, what I found the hardest was something called terminal restlessness. It's when a person becomes very agitated near the end. I could always tell who wasn't going to let go easily. I've had to gently guide small, elderly patients, some only around 90 pounds, back into bed during those restless moments. Even though they hadn't eaten in weeks and were given strong medications, they had a strength that seemed to come from deep inside. Their bodies moved wildly, as if something inside them was still trying to hold on, not ready to say goodbye. Not every passing is the same. Some are peaceful and comforting. Others are more difficult for everyone involved. Story 35. I was my dad's caregiver at home for almost 6 months while he was on hospice care. 2 days before he passed, I saw him pointing toward the ceiling and saying, "I've gotta go up." I asked, "Did you just say you've gotta go up?" And he answered, "Yes." The next day, we had a small family gathering. My mom, sister, my husband, and my sister's husband. We sat around his bed and shared memories about him. It was a mix of happy and sad, a special moment. The following evening, we invited a priest to come and give my dad a blessing. My dad was Catholic, and it was a very peaceful and meaningful 10-minute service. After the priest left, my husband and I told my dad we were going to step outside for a moment. We told him we loved him, that it was okay to rest, and that we'd see him when we came back in, or someday in another place. 10 minutes later, we came back into the room. He had passed. My dad had Alzheimer's and could barely speak at the end, but I truly believe what happened was something deeper. It felt like a peaceful spiritual moment, and I believe that when he said, "I've gotta go up," those were his last words in this life. Story 36. I'm a bit late to this conversation, and I'm not a hospice or hospital worker, but I've always found the way my granddad passed to be very meaningful and a little mysterious. He had been admitted to the hospital due to an infection. My mom and brother stayed by his side all through the night and into the morning without leaving. In the afternoon, my mom called and told me to come to the hospital because his condition had gotten worse. We all stood around his bed for a while. He looked like he was just sleeping. After some time, my brother stepped out to make a phone call, and my mom went outside for a cigarette. That left just me and my granddad, with the curtain drawn around us for privacy. I walked over, took his hand, and told him I loved him. In that moment, I watched his breathing slow down and then stop. He passed away while it was just the two of us, with his hand in mine. We were extremely close, and I truly believe he waited until it was only me there. He knew I was strong enough to be with him during that moment, and he wanted it to be quiet and peaceful. I gently stepped outside the curtain and said to the doctor, "Excuse me, I think my granddad just passed." They came in, checked, and told me they were sorry for my loss. I thanked them for all their help and calmly walked out. On my way out, I saw my mom and brother. I softly told them what had happened, and they broke down crying. I walked to my car and sat there, feeling calm. It was surreal. To this day, I think about how special it was to be there with him, holding his hand in his final moments. It felt like he chose to spend that time with me. I miss him so much. I'd give anything just to talk to him again. Story 37. I've worked as a home hospice CNA for a few years, and one experience really stayed with me. I was caring for a woman who had gone home after being diagnosed with advanced cancer. She told me clearly, "I want to look out the window at the river as I take my last breath." That was her wish, to be in her own bed with that peaceful view. I cared for her for a few weeks. Then one day, I noticed her breathing had changed. We knew the time was getting close. For the last 2 days, she mostly slept and wasn't responding to anyone. On her final day, I was sitting next to her, holding her hand. Her daughter was there too. As we sat with her, she suddenly opened her eyes wide, even though she hadn't done that in days, and looked straight out the window. Then she gently closed her eyes and took her last breath. She did exactly what she said she wanted to do. She got to see the river one last time, just like she had hoped. That moment gave me so much peace. It was calm, quiet, and deeply meaningful. Story 38. I once worked in home care for a woman with terminal cancer. Just a note, this story includes difficult topics like elder mistreatment and family conflict. She was very wealthy, strong-willed, and honestly quite upset about her diagnosis. She wasn't very aware most of the time, and she didn't say anything that felt otherworldly or deep. She was angry, frustrated, and not easy to care for, especially because her medication sometimes made her more restless or agitated. There was also some drama going on. An old friend of hers had been taking advantage of her, and because of that, I only worked in her home for a short time. On my last day, there was a confrontation, and I had to leave suddenly. Later, I came back just to collect my final pay. When I walked in, she looked right at me, but I avoided her. I knew she could become upset quickly, and I didn't want to cause more stress. That was the last time I saw her. On the other hand, we had a close family friend who also passed from cancer, and his final days were very different. We were told he started talking to people we couldn't see, saying they were waiting for him. It was emotional, and even though we were prepared for his passing, it still hit us hard. So in my experience, everyone seems to go through the end in their own way. Some are restless, some peaceful, and some seem to connect with something beyond this life. I truly believe there's more after this world, even if it's different for each person. Story 39. This happened over 10 years ago at a small rural hospital. I'm a registered nurse and was working the night shift on an inpatient unit. We had a woman who had been near the end for several days. Her room was close to the nurse's station, and for days we heard her calling out the same name over and over, Sharon. She wasn't fully aware anymore, which is common with patients near the end of life, so we didn't think too much of it. Sometimes people call out names or say things that don't make sense. Around 2 or 3 a.m., her daughter called me in to say her mom had passed. I sat down with her in the room to comfort her and talk for a bit. It was still dark, and honestly, I didn't find it strange at the time to have a quiet conversation with a loved one next to someone who had just passed. We had a calm, heartfelt talk, and the daughter shared some warm memories. Then she smiled a little and said, "Want to hear something strange? My mom had been yelling for someone named Sharon these last few days. I couldn't figure out who she meant." Story 40. I'm a doctor. We had a patient who was admitted for heart issues. He kept complaining about really bad back pain. He had been to another hospital a few times before, where they treated his heart condition. This was his first time at our hospital because it was closer to his home. The other doctors had said the back pain was probably from being in bed too much due to his heart condition and gave him light pain medicine. When I examined him, it was clear to me that he might have a herniated disc in his lower back. We didn't have an MRI machine at our hospital at the time, and getting one done elsewhere was very hard. But I pushed for it, and finally we got the approval. The MRI showed he had disc problems from L1 to L5. We treated his heart condition properly, gave him stronger pain relief, had an orthopedic doctor check him, and started some physical therapy. He was discharged and went home. His wife was very happy with the care. A few weeks later, I saw him in the emergency room getting treated again. I asked how he was doing. He said, "I'm okay, doc, but I'm very tired. I think it's my time. Thank you for everything you've done." I smiled and told him not to say things like that, and that I'd see him the next day on the floor, since my shift was almost done. The next day, I looked for him. They told me he had passed away in the ER after I left. Story 41. I'm not a healthcare worker, but I wanted to share something that happened when my Mimi was on hospice care. She passed away exactly 4 months ago. We were lucky to have her move to a hospice house for her final days, so she didn't have to spend them in a hospital. There was another woman staying in the room next to us. She didn't have many visitors, just one short visit from her son. She seemed confused about why she was there and kept asking to go home. The nurses checked on her often and tried their best to comfort her. On the night my Mimi passed, the woman kept calling the nurse into her room, saying that children were bothering her. Even though she had lost the use of her hands, she somehow managed to press the call button for help. Each time the nurse came in, there were no children in the room, but the nurse played along, pretending to gently guide the children out, and the woman would calm down. My Mimi passed about an hour after that. I asked the nurse later what the children might have meant. She told me that sometimes, when people are near the end of life, they talk about seeing or hearing children, and some believe they're peaceful spirits or angels coming to guide the person home. Story 42. I'm a home hospice nurse, and this story has stayed with me more than any other in my career. I got a call from the daughter of a patient we had been caring for. She told me her mother had passed away suddenly. While her mom was on hospice, she wasn't expected to pass for months. She had been feeling pretty well. That day, she had just returned from the bathroom, let out a quick gasp, collapsed onto the bed, and passed. She had a DNR, do not resuscitate, so emergency services weren't called. I arrived at their home a little while later. When I went into the bedroom to confirm her passing, her children chose to stay outside the room. They said they didn't want to see her that way. As I leaned over with my stethoscope to check her chest, I felt someone come up behind me. I turned around. No one was there. I went back to listening, and again, I felt someone close behind me, almost like they were trying to look over my shoulder to see what I was doing. I could hear a loud thumping in my stethoscope and realized it was my own heartbeat. I had to pause for a moment and let my heart calm down before I could finish and record the time of passing. I walked out to the kitchen where the family was gathered. Her children stood behind the kitchen island, and her husband sat quietly in a chair near the window, looking outside. I went over and gently offered my condolences. He looked completely heartbroken. As I leaned over the counter to fill out some paperwork and prepare to call the doctor, I looked up, and I saw the woman I had just confirmed gone, standing behind her husband with her hand resting on his shoulder. He lifted his hand and touched hers gently, like he could feel her there. He seemed to calm down. My heart was racing again. I blinked, took a deep breath, and she was gone. I've experienced many unexplainable things in my years as a hospice nurse, but nothing like that, and nothing since. I usually try to be logical and grounded, but that moment is burned into my memory. Maybe it was my mind playing tricks, or maybe, just maybe, I was allowed a small glimpse into what comes next. Story 43. This one is hard for me to talk about. I lost my mom when I was 14. She had breast cancer that later spread throughout her body. In her final hours, I stayed by her side for over 24 hours, just being there with her. Strangely, about 10 hours before she passed, my dad came to visit. He hadn't been kind to her during their marriage, which is why they got divorced. When he reached out to hold her hand, and keep in mind, she hadn't moved at all for over a day, she quickly pulled her hand away. Even in that state, she made her feelings clear. Later that night, my mom and I watched a movie together, mostly me watching and talking to her. I kept speaking to her since I was told that hearing is the last sense to go. I told her that I loved her, that I was tired, but I was still with her. Not long after I stopped talking, she passed. I was still awake, even though I had told her I was tired. I think maybe she believed I had finally found peace and fallen asleep, and that helped her find peace too. I like to think she let go knowing that I was okay, even if I was still quietly holding on. Story 44. As both a nurse and a family member, I've seen many people in their final moments. Sometimes, they seem to wait until their loved ones step out of the room before they pass. I've seen it happen more than once. someone holding on while a family member is nearby, and then letting go only after they're alone with me. It reminds me of how some animals find a quiet place to pass without anyone close by. I've done CPR more times than I can count. I've had moments where I've pushed with all my strength, trying to save a life. There have been times when I was covered in blood, exhausted, feeling completely worn down, only to look into the still eyes of someone I couldn't bring back. I've always wondered, were they looking at me for comfort, or had they already left? I remember when my mother's mom, my grandmother, was near the end. She had been completely clear-minded throughout her illness. But in her final moments, she suddenly cried out for her own mother like a child. Sadly, she passed before my mom could get to her bedside. It still breaks my heart. I don't know if that was strange or just deeply sad. There have also been moments I can't explain, like bringing someone back when every sign pointed to them not surviving. No pulse, very low oxygen levels, and yet they came back. I'm still not sure if that's always a good thing, but it stays with me. And on a more personal note, my grandmother was very sick and I was living in another country at the time. She held on long enough for me to fly out and see her one last time. Just 2 days after I left, she passed. I think she was waiting for that final goodbye. Story 45. My mom had advanced breast cancer and had been slowly getting weaker for a few months, but she was determined to make it to Thanksgiving. On Thanksgiving Day, we went to celebrate with my wife's family, but my mom wanted to have a separate meal, just for her, me, my siblings, and our families. Our dad had already passed, so this was especially important to her. The next day, on Friday, one of us went out and bought a turkey, and the rest of us started cooking all of her favorite recipes, the ones she had taught us over the years. She stayed in her favorite chair, watching us, smiling and giving little tips here and there. Just as we were finishing everything, she said she was feeling tired and went to her room. A few minutes later, my brother went to check on her, hoping to say a few last words. But soon, he called us in. There she was, sitting peacefully in her favorite chair. She had passed quietly, surrounded by the smells and sounds of the holiday she loved. We called the hospice nurse, who came and took care of the arrangements. We sat with her, said our goodbyes, and stayed with her until everything was done. Then we realized there was a fully cooked Thanksgiving meal waiting for us. It was our first holiday without her, yet somehow she felt so present, almost like she had planned every part of it. A note worth sharing. The three of us siblings hadn't been very close before. We usually only saw each other for big holidays, but my mom always wished we'd become a true family again. That day, that meal, and that experience brought us together like never before. We all knew, without question, that she had made it happen just the way she wanted. Story 46. My great-granddad was in the hospital for a while after a procedure, but his health started to get worse. He had a dog named Mac, though my granddad always called him the boy. They were always together, and everyone knew how much my great-granddad loved dogs. While my granddad was still in the hospital, Mac suddenly got very sick and had to be put to rest. My mom had him cremated and placed the ashes in my granddad's room so he'd be there when he came home. My mom told my granddad what happened, and he said, "I want to come home to see the boy." For the next 3 weeks, while still in the hospital, he kept talking about going home to be with his dog. Then, one night, the nurses told my mom that all he was talking about was the boy. He even told her that Mac was sitting at the foot of his bed. A few days later, my granddad passed, but he seemed truly happy, like he believed his dog had come to see him. They're even buried together now. Years later, I got my own dog. He lived to be 16, and we used to joke that if my granddad had still been alive, I never would have kept him. My granddad would have loved his personality so much, he would have taken him for himself. Near the end of my dog's life, he had several health problems, but he always seemed better when I was around. I was feeling really tired, so my mom suggested we take a short trip. I agreed to go for 3 days, telling my dog I'd be back on the third day. Around 4 a.m. on that third day, I got a phone call saying my dog had just passed about 5 minutes earlier. But what I remember most is waking up at 3:45 a.m. from a dream, or maybe something more, where my granddad was in the room with me. He asked, "Would you be okay if I took your dog with me?" And I said, "Yes, please take care of him." Now, I always say that my dog waited until the exact day I promised I'd return. And in the end, my granddad finally got to meet him. I believe they're together now. Story 47. My grandmother on my dad's side passed away in the evening. She had suffered a stroke about a month earlier. At first, doctors thought she only had 24 to 48 hours, but she surprised everyone and stayed with us for another 3 weeks. Just long enough for all her children and close grandchildren to fly in and say goodbye. That morning, I somehow knew it would be the day she would pass. As soon as I stepped up to her doorway, I noticed a smell, one I recognized right away. I've had an autoimmune condition since I was very young and have spent a lot of time in hospitals. Because of all the treatments I've had over the years, including chemo, infusions, and surgeries, I knew the smell meant that her body was starting to shut down. I was still a teenager at the time. One of the main nurses who had been caring for her also knew about my health condition. That day, the two of us just sat in large chairs at the end of the hallway, not saying much. We didn't need to. We both understood what was happening without needing words. The rest of my family spent the day with my grandmother. Later, the nurse gently suggested they all go grab some dinner and rest, letting them know they could come back in the morning. As they said their goodbyes for the night, the nurse and I looked at each other one last time and quietly exchanged a few words. Nurse, I guess I'll see you in a few hours. Me, yes, see you in a bit. We both just knew. There was something about that moment, quiet, calm, but heavy, that still stays with me. It felt almost otherworldly. Story 48. When my dad was near the end of his life from cancer, we brought a hospital bed into the living room so he could spend his last days surrounded by family. During those final days, he would often look up at the ceiling, smile, and wave. When we asked what he was seeing, he calmly told us that he saw his brother and sister, both of whom had passed many years ago. But the moment that stayed with us most was when he mentioned seeing a little child running around the room. None of us knew who he meant at first. Later, my mom quietly shared something she had never really talked about before. Years earlier, they had lost a baby before any of us were born. She believed that was who he saw. It was both sad and strangely comforting. Maybe he wasn't alone. Maybe the people he loved were there, ready to guide him. Our family doctor had always been close to my dad. He lived nearby and would often stop in to check on him. One day, the doctor gently asked my dad if he was scared. My dad said he wasn't afraid of what came next, but he was afraid of leaving us, his family, behind. He fought so hard to stay. He held on for as long as he could. It wasn't until we told him it was okay to rest, that we'd be all right, that he finally passed. I think about that moment a lot. My dad went through so much in his life. I truly hope he's with the people he missed and that he found peace. I miss him so much. And I know, when my time comes, he'll be the first one I look for.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.